Good morning, Drift Run Church. Good morning to those out in their cars. Good morning to those maybe in their homes listening. But it is a good day to be a Christian, don't you think? They'd say when the Mountaineers win a big game, it says good to be a Mountaineer. We can shout that every time. It's good to be a Christian, even though through this world of turmoil or whatever it might be, without it appears. But we know it's what God has created. We know that it's what God is going to continue on till He sends His Son to take the church home, and He's going to come back with His feet on the ground and be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's good to be a Christian. I had to take my boat over and get it looked at. I thought I had something going on with my engine. And I'm friends with the people that have the boat shop. And backed it in there, and he done this test to it. And it's like, man, praise the Lord. It wasn't internal. It was something malfunctioning on the starter. And I was excited about that, and I was thanking him for that. And he says it's hard when I have to make those calls, when I call and have to call the customer and say, man, it's your motor. It's bad. And I brought up the point of being a pastor at a church. I said, it's great to share the good news, the exciting part of being a Christian, the goodness of God, the hope of heaven, the hope of eternal life, the hope to overcome this world and all the lies therein. But then to tell them, if you're not a Christian, you're going to hell. You're separated. I said, I want to say bad news, but that's the news out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's the word of God. So sometimes, like I told him, sometimes the truth might be bad news, but the truth is always right. You can never go wrong without the truth. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. Didn't that song resonate with y'all? And I think about just being up here right now. There is no way fathomable without the Lord that I could do this. And there's no way fathomable without the Lord that teachers can teach, preachers can preach the true gospel of Jesus Christ. So I think about that. And we can all claim that right now. If you're a Christian, you can claim that right now. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. And that's to be an overcomer. That's to be a victorious Christian as we can live. So, you all know the statement, come unto me. Sounds biblical, doesn't it? How many times is that in the Bible, Debbie? 26 verses throughout the scriptures where he says, come unto me. And that's been resonating with me for the last week or so. And so the Lord set many things in front of my face to help us to comprehend that Jesus says, for you to come unto me. He doesn't say, go, make yourself better, and then come. He says to come. Now, you've heard the statement. People say, if I walk through them church doors, it'll cave in. Well, we know that ain't true, because any one of us, if that was true, any one of us could come through that door and the building would fall. Even Miss Patty. Right? Hey, truth, right? That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. We all have that. So, and it brought to memory a sermon that I heard. It was in a revival that was here. It's probably been 2, 4, 10 years ago. You know how that is. But it was Dale Cunningham preached it about Mephibosheth. You remember that? Who can spell it? No, I'm not going to say that. And then Greg had took us through a lesson on Wednesday nights for a bit through 2 Samuel, and we learned of Mephibosheth. So we're going to start out in 2 Samuel, chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 4, and then we're going to jump over to 2 Samuel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. 2 Samuel 4, 4, and then 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 5. If y'all would, when you get there, if y'all would, let's stand for the reading of God's Word. 2 Samuel 4, 4, 2 Samuel 9, 1 through 5. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame, and his name was Mephibosheth. Now moving over to chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, says, And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, and the son of Amiel in Lodabar. Verse 5, Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you again that we can gather together. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that indwells us. We thank you for each and every one that made their way out, each and every one that's maybe listening by radio. We pray for those that couldn't be here. For whatever reasons, Lord God, we ask for a blessing that only you can give upon them. Pray for our pastor and Miss Tink as they make their way home again. Lord, just bless and comfort and guide and direct them. And I pray for your forgiveness in my life. And these favors we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. So in going to that, what does that got to do with come unto me? So to back to verse 4, just going to recap a little bit from what we learned in the study that we had. Jonathan was Saul's son. So we went through the process. Saul was the first king of Israel, but he was the king that the people wanted. So we've seen the rise and fall of King Saul. Now Jonathan was his son, and him and David were very, very close friends. Okay? So why was David looking for somebody in Saul's family? Because if I remember right, David became king, and he was the first king anointed by God for Israel. Okay, we got to remember that. But the king was to do away with the lineage of the previous king. So, but instead of doing away, looking for a lineage of Saul, David and Jonathan had made a covenant on their love for one another, on their fellowship, their friendship. And in honor of Jonathan, who has passed, when we get up farther along, David is looking for something or someone in Jonathan's lineage to bless, to make right, to restore, to return. You can find the covenant. It talks about that in 1 Samuel, verse 20 through 16. So now, in 2 Samuel 9, verse 5. Okay, we see a lot, and Ken talks about it a lot, the parallels that show examples of Christ, examples of His love. So David is showing a love, a Christ-like love, when he sends for Mephibosheth. Then David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel from Lodabar. And the reason that I brought all this out was that fetched, verse 5, fetched, David saying, come unto me. Come unto me. And we'll come back to that later in closing. But just a note on the place of Lodabar, that was a barren place. It was couldn't grow crops there. It was nothing. And that's where Mephibosheth was living. And that kind of points towards the life we have before Christ. We're in a lost and dying world that is in a hopeless place without no productivity, without no point of gain in there. And yet David calls Mephibosheth out of the place he's at and from the place that in the traditions that he should have killed that young feller because he was of the lineage of Saul. But he did not. He called him out to come unto me because of his love. So now I'm going to move ahead to Matthew. Now hang on to that. I hope I didn't lose y'all. Matthew 11, chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. And this is going to be very familiar to you. This is Jesus speaking. It's in red. Remember the Wed Wedos song? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are of heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest in your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden light. And a note for that word easy, because I never did understand what it meant by easy, but it means it fits. It fits. His yoke with you is made for him and you personally. It's like going and get a tailor suit that's fit for me. Could you imagine me having Craig's suit on, you know, and these shoes? I get both feet in one shoe. But that's the personal, not a personal love that Christ has for each and every one of us. So there again, remember David, he had a personal love with Jonathan, and he was trying to do something with that covenant that him and Jonathan had. And he brought Mephibosheth out of that lost and hopeless place. Now this one right here really jumped out to me of the value of our little children. And you've seen how that swarm that come up here a while ago. Wasn't that awesome? Now we think about the new babies that come. We got baby Eli. We got Lucy that'll be coming and join us before long. The value of these little boys right here, and I ain't even going to try. They're Dalton and Morgan's youngins. But you look around the room at the children that are right here. Now, I've been to churches where they say, get them out of here, they're disruptive to the class. And maybe they are. But we're going to see what Jesus does here. Matthew 19, verses 13 through 15. 13 through 15. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and his disciples rebuked him. But Jesus said, suffer little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and departed thence. Now that's, again, let's go to Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, and he put hands upon them and blessed them. And for the third time, we see in Luke 18, 15 through 17. And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And what did Jesus say again? But Jesus called them unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whomsoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. So, look at the emphasis on the children. Look what has really been under attack in our societies today is the little children. Come unto me. And what did he do? He laid hands on them. He touched them. He cared for them. He prayed for them. And I know most of y'all love your children. Point being, we got to love those children as well. I think of the kids in school that sometimes might be exposed to such things that the world has. The church, it's up to us, church, to continue to develop our Bible school meetings, our Sunday school classes, our outreaches, or whatever they may be, some way so those children know that Jesus loves them, because he says, come unto me. And the example being so is the kingdom of God, that's the way we're to enter. Is there anything more innocent than a little child? Can't think of a thing. Eleanor, they sent me a video of her with her big brother out in the snow, and she's just cackling, you know, and she's what, 7 months, something like that. And I thought, there's no greater sound ever created by God than that sound of a cackling little baby. That's awesome. And that's the value that Jesus is putting on the little children. Come unto me. Now, that is an example to us. Because why would he be telling us that about the little children, which wouldn't understand? But he's telling us that we need to be humbled as a little child. I still remember having so much faith in my mama that it was unbelievable. I could not believe she knew all that she knew. I could not believe that she knew where everything that I ever needed was at. And you trusted him fully and completely. Dad's too, but this was with my mother. And that's the way we are to go to Christ. He says, come unto me, little children, come unto me. What's he tell us? I will give you rest. Come unto me and learn of me. And learning of him is what we're doing right now, as well as Bible studies on Wednesday nights. John 7:37 and 39. John 7:37-39. I hope the point was made about the value of our children. Okay. I can't emphasize that enough. Yeah, there's times you want to. And I remember my dad. Rodney will remember this one. We come in to Grandma and Grandpa Burton's, and it was when we were like this. Of course, this was Rodney, the oldest, you know, and it was like this. And I remember I started to say something, and he finished it, and I just went wham, punched him in the gut. You remember? Yeah, he remembers. So my dad, you know, my dad was a great guy. If you knew our dad, you'd but he come over and had me by the cuff of the neck, right here like that, and he dragged me across that floor, and he loved me the whole way, mind you. He was just correcting me, and he threw me in a chair, and where I passed out. I don't know whether he choked me or scared me to death or what. But he loved me, right? And he said, come unto me, son. Don't do that to your older brother. Anyways. John chapter 7, verses 37 through 39 says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. The world is thirsty right now. I remember being thirsty, and I would drink everything coming but the cup from Jesus Christ and try to chase and satisfy that thirst with many things, and it never satisfied. And he says, come unto me, Jamie. Come unto me, Greg. Come unto me, all you people. Come unto me. And when he says, I will, doesn't he do what he says? Didn't he do what he says? I will. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Now there again, that's a two-step thing. Come unto him. We've heard what he's about, and we go, but we don't drink. We need to drink. And that represents right here. He that believeth on me, who believes on Jesus this morning? Unanimous. As the scripture has said, believe in the gospel, believe in the truth, believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And that living water is the presence of the Holy Spirit within us. You agree with that here this morning? Living water. That's how we go through times of turmoil, times of heartache, times that we have all the prayer requests for, or the physical, but as well as those that maybe don't mention the mental stress that they might have. I've had discussions before on that, that is way worse than a physical ailment, is to have mental heartbreak, mental stress that is hard to control. But we have the living water in us. He is greater that is within me than he that is within the world. That is that living water to bring us through those times, to raise us above and help us to have a focus on what's to come. Now we're going to go back to Mephibosheth again just for a few minutes. That was in 2 Samuel chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 6 and 8 right now. Okay, now we know that David had searched for anybody in the lineage of Saul, Jonathan, and found Mephibosheth. And David has sent word and said, "Come unto me, fetch him to me, bring him to me." And of course we know Mephibosheth, if he was judged on based on where he lived, based on his lameness, his physical abilities, he would be set aside. I thought about that when we was talking about the lesson on the blind man, and he was blind from birth. And in my thought was they would have never took time to have taught him anything because he was blind. He was helpless. He was, they categorize, as we can see, if you weren't perfect like the Pharisees, you were beneath them. And he would have been just left as a poor beggar. So that's the way I see with Mephibosheth. He was sent down there in a secluded place. But David said, "Come unto me." And verse 6, "Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he said, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. For David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, that thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." At my table continually. That's Jesus talking to us at his table. And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I?" That's what Mephibosheth thought of himself. Now, a king in the world today would not have a second for that. Keep that out of sight. Keep it in Lodabar. But we see how Mephibosheth came. He had the invitation. He was invited. David said, "Come unto me." And he fell on his face. Doesn't that mean humility? Doesn't that mean humbly? And David called him by name, said, "Mephibosheth." And in response, Mephibosheth answered, "Thy servant. Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake." And that was the reason I was telling you about the covenant that him and David had. "And shall restore thee thy land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Just real quick right here, I'm about done. But shall restore. Now I think about in today's world, people want to get back to normal. Remember when I was going through that disease, whatever it was, and everybody was wanting to get back to normal. Well, what was normal? You know, what is normal? I think I did a sermon on that one time and got to look at, if you go back 20 years, it still wasn't normal. Vietnam, or 40 years ago, the Vietnam War wasn't normal. You go back in the 40s, World War I and II, them wasn't normal. You keep right on going back, and you can go through history, right on back and right on back and right on back. And when Adam and Eve sinned, that was not normal. Normal was before sin. And he says he's going to restore. So back to normal is coming. Right? Ain't that worthy of a shout right there? Normal is coming. And Jesus is the way to normal. And that's why he says, come unto me. I will restore you to normal. He came humbly. Verse 13 says, so Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. He came to David. He was continually fed. He was continually welcome at the king's table. And I got one more. And this one is speaking to us directly. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 9. Ooh, yeah. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him for the marriage supper. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. Are you looking for that day that Jesus is saying, come unto me, as he told those on the ship after his resurrection, and Peter, and I think there was seven of them that went fishing, and they was out on the boat, and they didn't catch nothing, and this guy on the bank hollered, hey, throw your net over the right side, and they did, and they was so full they couldn't move them. And John the Beloved told Peter, said, this is the Lord. And what words did we hear from Jesus as they're coming to the bank? Come and dine. Come and dine. And I think the master's table. I think of the marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you ready for that supper? Do you understand the encouragement that is in this message here this morning? That Jesus is calling us all to come to him and trust him. Because I'm sure I'm not the only one that has tried to do it on my own, has chased her tail and tried to fill that thirst with many different things. Come unto me, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. You guys got a song back there ready? But come unto me, and I will give you rest. And learn of me. How do we learn of Jesus? His word. Gathering, I think, Rose, for her testimony. How important that was. And to think that according to the blind man, it says it was for God's purpose is why he was blind, not because of any sin. And maybe Rose's, God used that purpose for that testimony right here this morning. And maybe something out there that we don't know about or we'll never know about, but God knows about. And God uses our difficulties. I think of a guy that I knew that was a rowdy feller and got cancer. And during that process, he got saved. He got born again. And he went on to heaven shortly thereafter. So what good was the purpose of the cancer? Don't you think heaven is way better than living with cancer? Huh? Huh? Wouldn't you rather be dead in heaven? That ain't right. Would you rather be living in heaven than dead on this earth? Huh? You know, God uses things we go through in our life that we don't understand. And looking back, all of you can look back and see where the hand of God was involved in something in your life. Now, we got to live our lives like we know that'll be, He'll be there for the next one that's coming, because they're coming. They're coming. We're going to have, in this world, you'll have tribulation. But Jesus says, I have overcome the world. If you have a need,